Good morning, everybody, and a good Arab Shabbos. I always like to start these shiurim by saying, you know, that the point of the shiur, which is, we'll get into the substance in a second, is very important. But what's arguably even more important is that, you know, these days off from the regular yeshiva schedule, it doesn't, in any way diminish our commitment and passion for what we like to call Tmidim Kesidran, Musafin Kehil Chasam. The continuity and, that sense of carpe diem that every day provides opportunities for Limud HaTorah. So that's really, why we have it. And, for us, it's provided an opportunity to take a step back from the regular curriculum and to reflect, hopefully in a thoughtful and substantive way on some of the halachic challenges that we face. And certainly with Purim around the corner, one of the issues that has gotten some attention, but continues to need to be evaluated, in a serious way, is the halacha, as it appears in Masechta Megillah that we'll get to, of Chayav Inishliv Sumi Bifuraya Delo Yada Ben Aruham and the Baruch Mordechai, what seems on its face to be advocating for not just drinking on Purim, but drunkenness, and there is a difference, as we'll talk about, but to be able to accomplish that in a meaningful way, we need to spend about 10 minutes or so on background to try to appreciate the very dialectical perspective that Chazal had towards alcohol, in the halacha, this Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin, and their parallel sugyos and Kiddushin, where Reb Meir is cited, and again, this we'll do a little bit more schematically because the specific texts are a little bit less significant than the, the takeaways, and there are limits of time on an Erev Shabbos, but the Gemara tells us that there are different perspectives, as we know, as to what the sin of the Eitz Hadas was. There are four different candidates, as we should say, the Esrog, the Te'ena, the Chita, or the Geffen, and they each have what to recommend them. And Reb Meir is affiliated with the view that it can't be that the Chait was anything other than a sin of Geffen that they had from those, pre-HaGeffen, and that was what brought sin on Adam and Chava, because Reb Meir says, "Ein l'chadaver she'mevi yulala ala Adam ela hayayin," that there's nothing responsible for, pain and suffering in this world with the exception of wine. That's obviously a very strong statement, and it gives us a kind of a point of entry into Chazal's skepticism. And again, this is not just, an Agada, but the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, as we see in the second source, that it compromises really a person's capacity to have a meaningful relationship with Hashem, whether it's in the context of Avoda, whether it's in the context of Limud HaTorah, a Kohen who would do the Avoda in a state of Shichrus has committed a very grave Avera, Chayv Misa, Bidei Shamayim. And then the Rambam uses one of these, signature formulations, as all of the Talmidim know, the Kishem and Kach and the Rambam, Kishem Sha'asu L'Kohen, the Kanis and Mikdash, from the Ashichras, Kach Asu L'Chol Adam. The Kishem and Kach doesn't mean also, but it means it's the same Mechayiv, Ben Kohen, Ben Yisrael, L'Horos, Kshu Shasoy. Obviously, providing Hora'ah to Klal Yisrael is a critical function of every Rav. And so to be incapacitated and not be able to do that is obviously a very strong halachic statement in its own right. The Rambam in Hilchos Tefila, and maybe this achieved the greatest fame, the Rambam distinguishes him between a shikur and a shasoy. He actually gives a definition. A shikur is somebody who can't be medaber bifnei hamelech because they're in no position to conduct themselves with dignity. A shasoy is somebody who could carry on a conversation, bifnei hamelech, again, has had what to drink. And the Rambam is mechalik. He says in both cases a person shouldn't daven, but in the first case, the Rambam refers to tfilaso as to'eva. To use the language of Reb Chaim, there's no cheftza shel tfila under those circumstances. So again, from a variety of different perspectives, whether it's Bias Mikdash, whether it's Hora'ah, whether it's Tefillah, these are obviously cardinal areas of Avodas Hashem. We're not talking about secondary, tertiary, ancillary expressions of Avodas Hashem. We're talking about foundational and fundamental expressions of Avodas Hashem are relegated to the realm of impossible, under conditions of Shichrus, and to some extent, even under conditions not quite of shichrus, but of shasoy, of having had what to drink. Me'idach kisa, and again, this is no recommendation for drunkenness, as we'll see, but there is a role for yayin in the halacha. The Gemara Pesachim very famously states, in the context of Simchas Yamtiv, we'll have to see what the Rambam has to say about this, but Again, in Simcha lo v'basar v'yayin, the Rambam paskins it in Shvisas Yamtif, you have in the fifth source. And then maybe most famously in Hilchos Chametz u'Matzah, where the Rambam says, even if you accept the basic understanding of the Gemara, that the Arba Kosos or the Rabbanan, right, the fact of the matter remains that for the Rambam, there is a Kiyum Daraisa, because it's part of the framework of the mitzvah daraisa of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chayav Adam, not Liros Asatzmo, but Laharos Asatzmo. And the Rambam felt that there were two dinim in terms of the external manifestation of Laharos Asatzmo, Ki Iluhu Be'atzmo, Yatza Atzim, Yishibur Mitzrayim, the Rambam's triple emendation of the famous Mechiltas formulation. So again, there too, the Rambam has a very significant role for Yayin. And again, what qualifies is a discussion that's a little bit beyond, you know, our scope for today, but, you know, I can't restrain myself, not because I've had anything, you know, to disinhibit me, but just, you know, predilection itself. But the Rav famously commented, based on this Rambam, Akolafi Hayayin Vakolafi Das Ashosa, since the Kiyom is Cheros, like if you prefer white wine to red wine, right, the Torah famously privileges red wine for its associations, but not that I'm a connoisseur, very, very, very far from it. Nobody will make that accusation. But, you know, I don't really like red wine. So based on this, you know, the Rav's interpretation of the Rambam, Akolafi Das Ashosa, so that is literally the only time of year that I engage is a Dalet Kosos, because in theory I happen to like white wine, but that's, you know, that's where I draw the line. So obviously, on the one end, you have Rabbi Meir's statement standing out in the Chadav Shemevi Lala Ala Adam El Ala Yayin. And again, the associated expressions, you know, in the context of Bias Mikdash, in the context of Voda, context of Tefillah, in the context of Horah and Libra Torah, where obviously it's, you know, something which is anathema. And on the other hand, in the context of Simchas Yamtif, with a particular application to Chag HaMatzos, you know, we see that there is, you know, a kind of a role. So this dialectic is going to be important in terms of, you know, trying to understand that it's not as if Purim exists in a complete vacuum. Nothing in halacha really does. We have to sort of understand and appreciate, you know, the realm in which it appears and the range of sources that are out there. Now, moving on to the second part of this year, we'll spend like, you know, 10-15 minutes trying to get an understanding of what the Rishonim have to say about this Gemara and Megillah, which achieved great fame and, you know, as measured by, you know, I guess the single most important metric for if you want to know if a Gemara has really made it to the big time, you know, have they made a song about it? So again, you know, by that criterion, it crosses the threshold. We could all be satisfied. So the Gemara says the following, but again, you know, even within the Gemara itself, there's plenty of ambiguity. So Amar Rava, if that's the proper girsa, so this doesn't sound like a question of shasoi, to use our language from before, but a question of shukras, right? On its face, so we should assume that not being able to distinguish between the fact that, if I could quote our three-year-old last night, he told me something interesting, which was relevant to this year. He said, you know, Haman is the bad guy, and Mordechai is the good guy, right? So he got that major point across, right? And, you know, thank you, Mor Bela and Mor Shira, for, you know, getting him ready for that. So if you can't make that distinction, right, so then, you know, I have it on the record that, you know, a three-year-old, you know, should be, so you have to be really, right, you know, incapacitated. That would be the idea. So then the Gemara has this famous story, Rabbi Rav Zera Adu Sudas Purim Bahadei Hadade. They got together for Purim one year, Ivsum, and, you know, they, whatever, you know, they followed the halacha as they understood it, and it didn't end well. Kam Rabba Shachter the Reb Zera. So something happened, you know, if you want to read it in the most extreme and literalist sense, so Rabba, you know, killed Reb Zera, even if you understand he didn't quite kill him, but he, you know, roughhoused him, he roughed him up, you know, he, you know, whatever they had to take, to use a modern day expression, they had to take Reb Zera into the, you know, the medical tent, the concussion protocols to see if he can continue with the Seudas Purim or not, you know, whether he was going to get cleared. So something bad happened. L'machar ba'irachme v'achye, which sounds again like, you know, Reb Zera was really, you know, quite injured, if not worse. So, you know, Rabba, when he came to, he realized, Ayvei, you know, this Sudas Purim went off the rails. L'shana Amarlei, so that didn't stop them from next year. Nesi Marvin Avid Sudas Purim Bahadei Hadadei. You have to respect Rabba's idealism here a little bit. You know, let's run it back again, you know. And Reb Zera, you know, he didn't even beat around the bush. He didn't say, you know, my mother-in-law invited me or something. He just said, you know, Amar Lehi, lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrach eshnisa, that, you know, last year really didn't work out. So we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to find other ways of spending time together on Purim. Or maybe we'll, you know, maybe it just will have to be on a different holiday altogether. So, and the big question here, as we're well aware, is whether that's what we call the Maisa list, or whether Ravina and Ravashi in organizing the Gemara this way. And we'll see that there's a little bit of a misconception out there that it was only the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Ephraim that read the Gemara that way. The truth is, it's really much more than that. And Rabbeinu Ephraim's view had very significant traction, you know, within a goodly number of Rishonim, and then in the Beis Yosef as well, and especially amongst the Achronim. That will be one of my, you know, main points to get across today. But whether or not it's a Maisa list or is obviously in question. The Ravina and Ravashi organized it in such a way to tell you that lo ifsaka hilchasa liba de Rava, that there really is no din of mechayv and ishlev sume b'farai. Interestingly, just as a limiting factor, Rashi says the sume is the shtaker b'yayin, so that there should be no question, at least from Rashi's standpoint, of hard liquor. And it's interesting, the Abu Dram has a similar idea. The Abu Dram is, if it's anything short of scandalized, it's only like a midgen short of scandalized by this whole idea that there could be a din of chayv initially of sume. And he says, well, the only possible explanation is that if you read the Megillah, there's all of this mishta hayayin going on, whether it's the removal of Ashti or, you know, Esther's different, you know, mishta hayayin. So it seems like for the Abu Dram, even though he's, you know, very ambivalent to say the best about the entire enterprise, he says, well, look, you know, for Yayin, you could understand it. But, you know, it's pretty clear, let's say from Rashi and the Abu Dram's amplification, that the idea of, you know, like hard liquor, you know, should be off the table. Tarte mashma. Now, there are some Rishonim, as we know, who take the Gemara simply kipshuto, or it would seem that way. So amongst them, they are the Rif, the Itter, and the Tur, and they simply quote the line that we find, Amarav mechayvinish of sume b'furai de lo yada bin either Baruch Mordechai la Rahaman or Arhaman la Baruch Mordechai, depending on the formulation. So again, this is not to say that, you know, there weren't very critical Rishonim. These are not esoteric views. The Rif, the Itter, the Tur, who understood it that way. Meidach gisa, you know, on the other end of the halachic spectrum, there were those who fully endorsed Rabbeinu Ephraim, and amongst them were the Balamar and the Ran, who are also, you know, first-rate card-carrying Rishonim. We're not dealing with, you know, second-tier figures here, who said that the Maisa of Reb Zeira and Rabbah is a Maisa Listor, that the Gemara is telling you that there really is no such din. Probably the largest group is actually the middle group. So take a look here. This is, you know, in the 14th source and onwards, the Balei HaTosfos. This is reflected in the Rosh. It's also quoted by the Ran, and it has a lot of traction in amongst the Achronim as well, is to try to find some kind of a middle ground, which is to say, you know, maybe what the Gemara means is Arahaman Baruch Mordechai doesn't mean what my son David said to me last night, that, you know, Mordechai was the good guy and Haman was the bad guy, but either there was like this very long poem that they had, which had many, many lines, and you weren't able to recite the like entire poem by heart. And then you have a lot of people who are going to tell you, well, I can never recite anything by heart. You know, my working memory has been shot since I was, you know, when first became a parent or whatever it was. So, you know, I don't even need to drink to reach that state. And then the Magen Avram, you know, for the people who have good memories but aren't so good at math, the Magen Avram points out, oh, well, you know, Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai is the same in Gematria. So once you can't do that math anymore, and then again, you have all the math people coming and saying, well, I can't do that anyway, you know, no matter, you know, how much or how little I've had to drink. So, you know, I'm already Yotze, according to the Magen Avram. So, you know, there are all these middle shitos that you have, again, with the Rosh and the Balei HaTosfos, very popular in Ashkenaz in general, that sort of make the claim that we can, again, tarte mashma, dilute the initial meaning of the Gemara when it said Arahaman and Baruch Mordechai, and nobody was calling for Shichros Gamor. All they were calling for was what the Archos Chaim would eventually call Yoser Michdei Limudo, to drink a little bit more than you usually do. So again, for those, you know, of us, like, you know, who are in the Dalet Kosos and only the Dalet Kosos camp, you know, you're talking about, a pretty minimal level of engagement altogether. But this became, like I said, a very predominant view. And if you go through from, you know, from the Balei Tosfos and the Rush on down, you know, you'll see that this has a lot of traction. I already mentioned the position of the Abu Dram, that the Abu Dram was very, you know, perplexed by this whole idea. Like, how could it be consistent with some of those, threshold level Gemaras that we talked about at the beginning of Ein Lecha Davar Shemevi Yulala Ala Adam Ela Hayayin? And, you know, his point of view is that, you know, this is really an exception to our general rule, and but it'd have to be limited to Yayin in that respect. So, again, even within those who don't want to go all the way with Rabbeinu Ephraim and to say we've just rejected this concept entirely, so there are a number of limitations that we can say. We could say, number one, maybe it's a, you know, the capacity to do some math or recite some poetry, which will, again, mitigate whatever you understand this din to mean. The second limitation would be yayin as opposed to hard liquor. Then you have the Rambam's famous limitation as well, though the Rambam, his shita came in for some controversy. So if you take a look here at the 21st source, this, as the Talmidim will tell you, you always have to read the Rambam inside. You can never do this schematically. So, you know, in honor of hosting the Oneg tonight, you know, we'll put Eitan Barinholtz to work, unless there's a... Are there any union laws that prevent you from reading on the night when you're hosting the Oneg, or...? No, I think not in New Jersey. It could be that in Virginia they have some. Okay, but okay, you're good. All right, so Ketzad Chova Su'uda Zo. Okay, very good. So what's the limitation that the Rambam here is imposing? Like, what's the context for the din, apparently, of Chayev Inish Levesume? So this is actually a very important nafkamina l'halacha, that it's only supposed to be taking place when? Right, exactly. So the Rambam, right, not only endorses Rashi's limitation of Yayin, as opposed to, you know, people... Again, I'm not going to embarrass myself here because I'm you know, always at that section in the Shalom Zachar where the seltzer is. But, you know, whatever is going on, you know, at the other end of the... So, like, you know, it's not that, right? It's the stuff that they've named for the Rishonim. You know, he said, you know, there's a famous essay of Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik that it may have been true that Rashi was a vintner, but it may have equally been true that he was, you know, he has some... witty line. He says, basically, there's no evidence for what we were all raised with, that Rashi's, you know, business was that he was in the business of producing wine. But I thought of Alimut Chos, naming wine for Rashi, you know, the Rashi wine that, you know, those of us who are not connoisseurs may have from time to time. So the Rashi wine could be, because of Ishita and Masech the Megillah, limiting Chayiv Inish Levesume specifically to Yayin. So that could be a backup, even if you hold from Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's point that he wasn't really, you know, in the industry. So the Rambam endorses that limitation as well. And then the Rambam endorses a second limitation, which is that it's only really within the context of the Seuda, and that's going to be a very important limitation, because, you know, there are some people, you know, they're very machmir on this point, that as soon as you get to Tzeisa Kol Chavim of, you know, Yadalad, that they start right then and there, you know, they borrow the halacha from Hilchos Shabbos and Arachaim. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, there's a special halacha that when a person gets home from shul, the actual language of the Shulchan Aruch is V'yikadesh Miyad. In fact, Rabbi Simon, in his recent essays on Hilchos Shabbos, you know, actually develops Kedarko Bakodesh. You know, how is it that we sing Shalom Aleichem? He thinks you need a real matir to do so, because you're supposed to really be Mekadesh Miyad. So anyway, you know, like a Gzera Shava, there are those people, as soon as the Megillah reading is over, they say the Mekadesh Miyad. So that's definitely not the way the Rambam understood it, because obviously the mitzvah Seuda is a mitzvah Bayom. It's not a mitzvah Balayla. The Gemara is black on white about that. So the Rambam introduces yet another limitation. So there were many Rishonim, and to some extent Achronim as well. It seems like the Chavetz Chaim thought that maybe what the Rambam was trying to do when he said V'yiradim b'shichros was he was trying to find a more dignified way to achieve Ad lo yada ben araham on the Baruch Mordechai, right? Because if you're asleep, you could make an argument. I don't want to start a fight amongst the, you know, the sleep scientists out there, you know, about what you do know, what you don't know when you're sleeping. And there's actually a guy in our shul who's not just a neurologist, but like a real sleep specialist. And, you know, I'm always very careful to check with him before I make any claims about sleep. But let's say many of the later Rishonim and Achronim assumed that what the Rambam meant, but by V'yiradim b'shichruso, was that, okay, so you have a little bit to drink and then you go to sleep. So when you're asleep, ad lo yada. And like I said, the Mishnah Berura seems to like that idea. The Be'er Halacha seems to like that idea. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't believe that that's true. Interestingly, okay, the Aruch HaShulchan thinks that the Rambam Paskins, like Rabbeinu Ephraim, believe it or not, that the whole din of Chayiv Inish Liv Sume, Ad Lo Yada Bin Aruch Halam with Brother Baruch Mordechai is Nidcha, based on the story. And so the Rambam came up with, a different Halacha, that you should drink a little bit, but there's no din of ad lo yada. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. He doesn't think yiradim is a way of approximating ad lo yada. So again, the Rambam's language here, is a subject to interpretation, which is not a surprise. But what is important is, again, al kol panim, there are limitations. And again, the idea of yayin here is important. It's limited to yayin, and it's limited to the suda. I'll just mention the fact that the Rambam limits it to Yayin, though, I think has a different point of origin than Rashi. Anybody want to guess what I'm alluding to? It's a little bit more of a subtle point. In the Lamdas, it's not going to affect the Halacha too much, but I do want people to appreciate that just because Rashi and the Rambam are both limiting it to Yayin, it appears to be for very different reasons. And I'll just say that I think the hint here is the fact that the Rambam, uniquely at the Sudas Purim, required Basar as well. So what was the Rambam? Yeah, Eitan. Right, so it's clearly a case of called the Tikkun Rabbanan, Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. The Rambam in general, in the way that he, formulates, the dinim of Su'udas Purim, so he was really operating off of the, the D'Oraisa archetype of Basar Vayayin. So for the Rambam, the province of Yayin is actually a little bit different than it is for Rashi, it should be noted. And that becomes very important, Eitan. So your observation really is value-added and moves the discussion forward, because that means what the Rambam is actually saying about Su'udas Purim is that it should mirror a Su'udas Yantif ein simcha levasar v'yayin. So once that's true, so then, by the transitive principle, then what the Rambam says about Yayin in the context of Hilchos, Shvisas Yantif, is equally material and relevant to Su'udas Purim. And there the Rambam is unsparing in his critique of drunkenness. And so, Mikan Mashma, so I'll just read this. Or actually, Eitan, these are your just desserts. You pointed it out, so why not? So the bottom of the 22nd source is the Rambam Hilchos Shvisas Yantif. So the same, literally the last line here. K'sha'adam ochal v'shosa v'sameach b'regel. Yes, the Rambam says, I do paskin based on the Gemara Psachim Koftes, in simcha l'babasar v'yayin, at least for Anashim. For Anashim, the Rambam paskins that it's begadim and tachshitim. Again, just a little bit of a point of interest here before Eitan, guys take notes on this. So in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam accepted the premise that simcha was highly personal and needed to be differentiated, based on who it was. The Rambam was mechadesh at the din of chayav adam l'sameach banu v'bneiso beregel applies to children. So the Rambam says, presumably based on the top line of the Gemara Pesachim Daf Kuf Tes, that when Rabbi Kiva wanted to keep the ketanim up for the say there, it says that he was mechalik klayos vagozim. He would give out candy to them. So the Rambam then applies that as a deoraisa for chayiv adam l'sameach banu v'bnei beiso v'regel. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says, and the same thing applies for your wife, give her the candy too. Boy, did he do tshuva for that. Now again, I don't know if he heard about it from, Mrs. Maimonides, but by the time he gets around to the Yad HaChazaka, not only does he paskin the simple version of the Gemara says that you have to get begadim and they have to be in style, which is like a big chumrah. It says Bebavel and Eretz Yisrael, they have different styles, but the Rambam throws in not just the clothing, but tachshitim, jewelry as well. So you could really see the progression in the Rambam. Originally they were just getting chocolate covered pretzels, and then, So again, this is a very important. Wilchenstein's Atzal was machmir to, for the tachshitim as well, and you can often find me, not often, but when you can find me in such stores, it's always kodem haregel, and when I walk in and they say, do you need any help, and I said, yes, immediately, please. So, in any event, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shvisas Yantif that even though he has this din, which of course became, Eitan is correct, called the Tikkun Rabban and Kedaraisa Tikkun, which became the archetype for Sudas Purim, the Rambam writes the following. Okay, so Eitan, you want to take it away? This is the last line on the first part of source 22, and then going on to the second page. Yeah, perfect. Right, none of us could imagine this happening, right? Totally hypothetical case. So the Rambam says a person shouldn't say, you know, the real way we're going to achieve maximal levels of Simchas Yom Tov is by, you know, going all in, getting whatever it is, the double black label, you know. Okay. So Shashichrus. Right, so again, if anybody's looking for a yearbook quote, I think this could work out nicely. Halamata, Shavoda, Besimcha, Yevshar, Lavodas Hashem, Lomitoch Schok, Melomitoch Chalos Rosh, Velomitoch Shechros. So again, those who would take the Rambam in, you know, Hilchos Megillah, when the Rambam talks about Yiradin B'Shechruso and Basar Vayayin, as saying the Rambam is saying that you need to pass out, I think this is really one of those examples where missing the Lamdus in the Rambam leads you to a completely, you know, a totally balderized vision of what the Rambam meant within the framework of the actual halacha. What the Rambam is doing in Hilchos Megillah is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein D'Oraisa Tikkun. The Rambam is on the record in Hilchos Shvisas Yom Tov saying that there's no possibility of achieving Simcha through Shichrus. Shichrus is, you know, anathema, mutually exclusive with Avodas Hashem. And that's really why I wanted to start where we did. The Rambam thinks that a tefillah that's offered b'shichrus is a to'eva. Reb Chaim says it's not a chafza shel tefillah, right? There's no chalos. We talked about the problems in terms of b'yas mikdash. You can't come lifnei Hashem. You can't give a hora'ah. Ein lecha davar shemevi ulalal adam. So the Rambam did have a din of basar vayayin within Sudas Purim because that's the way the Rambam felt the Sudas Yom Tov should play out in general. But again, here you have to know a little bit more than just what appears in that one line. So the Me'iri, again, very much along the same lines. As we know, the Me'iri was, you know, greatly influenced by the Rambam. And for all of the controversies that exist and, you know, did exist between the Rambam and Chachmei Provence, the Me'iri was, you know, his greatest champion amongst them, which is a really fascinating story in its own right. But the Me'iri says, Chayavadan laharbas v'simchay b'mezeve achila v'shtiyad sh'liach v'shum davar. It's impossible to say that there's any tzivui to get drunk. So the Miri says it's all meant to facilitate, the ambiance has to be one that's conducive to Avas Hashem, Yirah Shamayim, and a numinous experience. So you won't be surprised that the Me'iri endorses the view of Rabbeinu Ephraim. So again, it's not just the Balamar and the Ran, but the Me'iri, you know, these are, you know, Rishonim of the very first rank who are saying that they think that Rabbeinu Ephraim is the dispositive view. And in Bi'ur Mi'a, as Hashem Rabbeinu Ahram LeBaruch Mordechai, Hashem Rabbeinu Talmud Amarav, is Yerushalmi, Shetzarach Lomer Akra Mecher Megillah, this lengthy period, Arahaman Baruch Mordechai, Baruch Esther, Ruhr Zeresh, V'chein Shetzarach Lomer Charvona Zachor Latov, Shechayev Lizbasim, Ad She'lo Yada Bebeira Mayomar, Ala Shekvar Nidcheis Adatenu Kamo Shebiarnos. He says, as far as he's concerned, even this middle view, what I call the Pshara of the Bali Atosos, that it never really meant you had to get that drunk, but just be a little tipsy so you can't remember the 15-line iambic pentameter. So the Me'iri says, yeah, but I don't even accept that. I just paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim across the board. I mentioned before that the Aruch HaShulchan is in the Chudash view, which you can take a look at inside at your own time, you know, in terms of thinking that the Rambam actually also was endorsing Rabbeinu Ephraim and the Rambam Ziradin B'Shechrusa was not an attempt to approximate the din of the din of Adelo Yada. Now, what's really interesting here is that the Beis Yosef, you know, really, 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 really spends an enormous amount of time developing the alternatives to the approach that we saw in the Iter and the Rif and the Tur, where it's just Nifsak lahalacha of Chayvadam Livsumi before Adelo Yada bin Araham and the Baruch Mordechai. In fact, as you can see in the 25th source, so I bolded it, he quotes the Balei HaTosfos, right? The Balei HaTosfos taking the position that it's not rip-roaring drunk by any stretch, it's a little tipsy. The Ran, who says, we paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he quotes the Archos Chaim, right? Rabbi Aaron HaKohen of Luniel, one of the great Chachmei Provence, lo sheyishtaker, this is the last line, she'ashichrus iser gamor, drunkenness is categorically prohibited, v'ein lecha avera gedola mizo, I'm not saying this is not a 21st century, advocate or activist. This is the Archos Chaim, a card-carrying Rishon from the first rank. Shugorim the Gilei Rayus, Shvichos Damim, Mechama Averu Zulasan. I have to tell you, in my life, I haven't seen quite Shvichos Damim, but I've seen pretty much everything else on Purim. It's really, nobody goes into it planning to debase themselves and their family, but, that is what happens, and... like Newton's laws, sometimes people feel the need to prove them for themselves, when it comes to, every action having an equal and opposite reaction. People want to make sure that the Archos Chaim can be replicated on an annual basis, so they prove it for us once more, and it sounds hyperbolic, but in my experience, it's really not. I'm not going to go into chapter and verse, because there's really... no toelas to that, but again, just hearing people saying the most, debasing things about their spouses and the like, these are people, again, who are B'nai Yeshiva and the like, is really a horrific thing to have to experience. And the Archos Chaim knew it 750 years ago. Shugorim the Gilei Rayos, Shvichos Damim, V'cham Averos, Ulas, Anach, Sheyishta, Yoser, Milimudo, Ma'at, Ma'at. Okay, so you just, again, a little bit more, and it's almost symbolic at that point. So the Shulchan Aruch, it's very fascinating, there's a whole literature in the methodology of Halacha of how do we balance between the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch. It is noteworthy that the Shulchan Aruch only quotes from the Rif here, despite the fact that he, of all people, was, deeply, deeply, deeply aware of the alternative views, the Balei HaTosfos, the Ran, Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Archos Chaim, but at least for Ashkenazim, and I'll tell you for Sephardim as well in a little bit, but for Ashkenazim, right, the terms of engagement are quite different. So what the Ramah did was a little bit of fancy footwork. He seems to have combined the Archos Chaim with the Rambam. Says, that's clearly the Archos Chaim, V'yashin, that's the Rambam, right, so you could see the Ramah wanted to interpolate into the Rambam that Yeradim was a way of getting to Adelo Yad. Like I said, the Aruch HaShulchan wasn't so convinced of that. And then the Ramah says something which, if he were here, I would ask him. But I think it's actually a way of pointing us in a very different direction. That people need to be honest with themselves. Am I doing this to blow off some steam? Or I'm doing this because it's not socially acceptable for me to be doing this the rest of the year, but hey, now I can pin it on a line of the Gemara. That's certainly no reason to be imbibing, when it comes to Purim. But if a person really feels that this is going to facilitate Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, then obviously within the parameters that we discussed of a Shichur as being an Isser Gamor, but then, maybe there is something to talk about. Now, what's really fascinating, and you can document this, and I'll try to do so briefly, is that, halacha, like law itself, I mean, every legal system you have this, is that there are certain ideas that may start out, I wouldn't say in the case of Rabbeinu Ephraim, at the periphery, but if you want to call it the relative periphery, in the sense that it was certainly embraced by the Ran and the Baal HaMa'ar and the Me'iri, and if you believe the Aruch HaShulchan, the Rambam, but I think that might be a little bit of a bridge too far. But, very often what happens in the course of halacha is you have a view that gains a lot of traction over time. This is just the natural course of halachimens. I remember when I was growing up, let's just, to give an analogy, a completely different area of halacha, when B'nai Chutz La'aretz used to travel to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, like, you know, how did they observe, right? So everybody knew that there was a tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi that you could really keep one day, but unless, you know, you had a family masorah of so doing, like, who was really doing that? So again, if, you know, you came from people who were very, 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 very deeply connected to the Masorah Sarav, so they had this idea, you know, of keeping the first day and then the second day to be machmir on the daraisas, and potentially make it on the rabbanans, what became known as, you know, a day and a half. And then, you know, but most people that I knew, you know, not that I'd done a scientific poll, most people that I knew followed Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein was very clear. He thought that even people who had been learning in the mirror for 10 years but were still taking, you know, help from their parents should be keeping 2 days, because who knows if they're really going to be able to crack it in Eretz Yisrael, or they're really B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't having any of it in either 2 days. And that was like, you know, that was what I grew up on, you know, back in the 1990s. You know, this was... then the Chacham Tzvi, you know, really took off. It became a much more popular view. And it's interesting to talk about why that is. So, you know, and likewise, you know, and I don't know if it's related or not, presumably not. But again, when I was a kid growing up in Shul on Chol HaMoed, so, you know, you had half the people wearing tefillin and half the people not wearing tefillin, and it was kind of a live and let live scenario. Now go to any shul, you know, you'll see maybe 2 or 3 people, you know, wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed. You know, it's not like it is in Eretz Yisrael, where they'll send you to the Ezra's Nashim or worse, but, you know, so how did that happen? Did, you know, people's... you know, over the course of the last 25 years, where they rediscover their family minhagim? Of course not. The people went to Eretz Yisrael, and in Eretz Yisrael, where things are the Talmidei HaGra, the Gra felt very strongly, based on the language of the Rambam, that you shouldn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and then also the Hasidim don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So in Eretz Yisrael, so that's where people pick up their minhagim today, because of, because we already mentioned Dr. Soloveitchik once, I'll mention him again, rupture and reconstruction, the laws of the mimetic tradition, so... You know, people stopped wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed, even though Beferish, the Rama says, you have to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The question in the Achronim, whether you make a bracha or not, but, should wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. It's a huge, huge machlokas harishonim, whether the Yisr Malacha on Chol HaMoed is even a dendaraisa. The Be'er Lacha quotes 25 Rishonim, 12 against 13, whether it's an Yisr Malacha, Yisr Daraisa, Yisr Darabanan. So tefillin is a mitzvah sasemi, not Torah, right? At least, if you want to make a bracha, safik bracha zakula, but you should probably put it on just to be safe, the Rama felt, you know. You don't want to do it in shul, do it at home. You don't want to do it at home, do it in the closet, you know, in a parking lot somewhere. You know, we can find people safe spaces to do these things. But, you know, I look around every year and fewer people. So this is what happens, you know. Halacha is not stagnant. So what happened in this sugya is really interesting, that the Achronim very much picked up Rabbeinu Ephraim and they ran with it. It'd be interesting to see somebody, you know, with more of a historical background to look into why that was. But just to give you a sampling here, so the Eli Rabba, for example, you know, takes a very strong line. Im tomer hechaybu chazal mashenizker v'torah neviim v'cham eklobos hashichros michshol gadol. So he quotes from the Abba Drum. This is again the 29th source, and then he comes back at the end to say that even so, right? Umash hamazir and sholinog v'purim kalus roshel ismach simchas mitzvah v'diktik v'nitilas yadayim v'amotzi abirkas hamazon. But he says chas v'shalom chalila chalila chalila, that anybody would have anything to drink in such a way that might take away a little bit from their mitzvah daraisa, birkas hamazon, or tilas adayim, or that they should lose out on mincha, they should lose out on ma'ariv. So again, what is a person really, how much is left for a person to do, you know, in practice? The chayodam, again, the chayodam is a sefer that I wish more people studied today. Chayodam was dying in Vilna, Ram Danzig, really an incredible work. And in Europe, like I said, in Europe, the Chayodam was very much studied, especially in Lita. So the Chayodam and the Sugya of Anam Hayodea Ba'at, so we just saw the Chayodam in the context, right? We're talking about in Jir of Michal Shabbos Befarhesia and being Mekel on people, you know, who, you know, maybe just did things once. So the Chayodam writes here, Vamna Yodea Ba'atzmo, she is Alzal, Azva Mitzah, Mina Mitzos, Nitila Sidayim, Ubracha Berchas Amazon, Shalis Palo Mincho Mariv, Oshino Kalos Rosh, Mutav Shalishtaker, Vichomas of Yulashem Shamayim. So the Chayodam took the Ramah, and this is what I really think the Ramah meant. Right, the Ramah said, right, Echad Amarv, Echad Amarv, Vilvad, Shechavin, Maisav, Lashem Shamayim. The Chayodam says what that means is that you know, chachamena berosho, is that you have to really weigh everything in context. And, you know, if it's going to impact things that you're clearly mechuyev to do, because the whole sugya is shrouded in mystery. Maybe we paskin like Rabbeinu Ephraim, right? Maybe it really is a ma'aselister. So the chayadim says, chomas of yilshem shemayim. If this you think is going to impact your netilas yadayim and your birkas hamazon and your mincha and your ma'ariv and your ability to hold night seder that night, right? Why shouldn't the person have night seder? Shushan, it's a regular night. So a regular night seder. Mevatlin talmud Torah l'shmo mikra megillah, unless you live in Yerushalayim. By the night of the 15th, you should be back in the base medrash. So if you're not going to be in a position to do that, so a person, you know, it's not worth it. You're yatzah scharo behefseido. Mary Lichtenstein quoting this chayadam. Somebody asked him, you know, why he himself, you know, didn't engage in libations. And he said, you know, I'm not Yodea Ba'atzmi. So, you know, what could we do but chuckle? You know, given the kind of things that were going on around and, you know, people, you know, who weren't, okay. But from my point of view, I'll just, you know, I'll tell you exactly the way that I feel, you know, about this chayadam. I would say stronger. The chayadam says, "Sayodeya ba'atzmo sheyizalzel." If you know that you're going to be mizalzel, you shouldn't do it. I would say the other way. I would say only if you're sure that you're not going to be mizalzel is it even worth contemplating. I would say that the burden of proof is in the other direction. And Aruch HaShulchan comes down, like I said, exactly in the same direction. Ula ma'isa yesh lehisrachek mina shechrus v'prat shiyas yaini shechar she b'shechruso yismale ketzoa. It would be very ugly. Virak lishtos mas yoter milimudo v'lishan k'tas, like the Rama says, v'yor chos chayim. So again, it's a very, very, very strong trend, and you can see it playing out in the Mishnah Berurah and the Be'er Halacha. Again, he quotes from the Chayyadam. No great surprise there. So again, in terms of the sugya itself, right, those who want to rely on Rabbeinu Ephraim, you know, like me, have more than a yesha almilis moch. Those who want to rely on the Yor chos chayim, more than a yesha almilis moch, and certainly that's the Rama's preferred interpretation. Those, it's interesting. After Rav Lichtenstein was nifter, I heard from Rav Rimon Shlita, who asked him when he was a young person about, you know, how he should be noheg on Purim, and he asked him about the Rambam, but Rav Lichtenstein objected because he was uncomfortable with the idea of sleeping during the daytime. You know, he didn't like that idea of people not being active in Avodas Hashem, so he felt that was an unacceptable sacrifice, which was an amazing thing. Rav Rimon said to me that really, you know, I felt it was heartwarming to hear that. You know, how could you possibly, on a day of such spiritual significance as Purim, you know, be asleep? So this is all in terms of, you know, what we find in the sugya. So before, you know, I go on from here to hopefully give you my value-added perspective, if it is value-added, that will be for you to judge. The idea that there's like this ironclad halacha that a person is supposed to get, you know, hopelessly inebriated on Purim is just a factual error. That's simple and sheer ignorance. You look and you study the sugya, especially the trajectory from the Rishonim to the Achronim, you see that there were always dissenting views, and that those dissenting views clearly became amplified very, very strongly. I'm not talking about, you know, by the latest of Achronim. I'm talking already in the times of the Rama, v'chol ma'isav yilashem shamayim, and everything that we saw, and the shichrus is iser gamor, and I think the Rambam Shita is unmistakable. Like Eitan said, it's a kol d'tikun rabbanan kein d'arayis tikun. That's all in terms of, you know, assessing a sugya in a very narrow way, but one of the challenges, and it really is a challenge, I use that word in the literal sense of the term, when we're confronting specific halachos, and it takes many years and decades to find the right balance here, is to balance, you know, how you approach one halacha against sort of what you might call communal considerations, what some people call meta-halacha considerations. But let me just take you through two examples that I think will you know, additive with respect to what I'm about to say going forward and sort of, you know, my perspective on this issue. Let me give you a mashal from the world of Bikurim. So there's, according to all Rishonim, there's two mitzvahs daraisa by the world of Bikurim. There's something called Mikra Bikurim, and there's something called Havas Bikurim. And there's a whole discussion, the Mishnayos and Bikurim, about who's chayiv to do both, yesh mevi'in v'korin, and then there yesh mevi'in v'einan korin, and then there are the people who aren't, maybe they're not korei. So what's discussed in the Mishnayos, and there's no Bavli, but they use the Yerushalmi there, is how do we relate to a situation where, you know, people who were unlettered, they had bikurim, they're mechuyim midarais and bikurim, but the whole experience was very embarrassing for them because they'd show up there and, they couldn't do the mikra. It's a very beautiful passage. We say the Agada Rami Oved Avi, Vayered Mitzrayim, Vayagor Shamim Seimaat. So a takana was eventually made that no matter if you were the biggest Rosh Hashiva in the world or the biggest Amaretz in the world, it didn't matter that the Kohen was going to be Makri. Why? Because we recognize that even though you're diminishing somebody's mitzvah min haTorah, right, it's better to do something, mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, especially, I have a little bit of a shtickle Torah on this, especially when it comes to mikra bikurim, it'd be better to do it in the first person as opposed to shomea ka'one, because it's really about your personal history and your identification. But we sacrificed that because we thought there were communal needs. Let's say if 10% or 20% of people, I don't know how many people, were illiterate, what happened was is they weren't going to fulfill the mitzvah of mikra bikurim because they couldn't, and they stopped bringing their bikurim. And the reason they stopped bringing their bikurim, because the whole thing was so humiliating for them, is they would show up, and, you know, everybody would be there and, you know, they would be getting their Arami Oved Avi ready, you know, and some people would do it, you know, with a cantorial flourish. And this guy can't read. So they made a takana and they said, you know what? And that by the way, that's why we have a Baal Korei. That's why it's not correct. If somebody wants to read their own Aliyah and say, oh, that's the Dina de Gemara, I should really be reading the Aliyah. The whole reason we have a Baal Korei is that the Baal Korei should be the one to read, because Kadesh Lo Levayish, we don't want to embarrass all of the other Olim that can't do the Aliyah. So this is true, like I said, whether it's a din derabanan like Kriyas HaTorah, that we do as a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara Bava Kama Pei Aleph, or a din deraisa like Mikra Bikurim. Like what happens is in halacha is you have to weigh things against certain communal realities, and you sometimes have to be willing to compromise a little bit on what you think might be best for you and what might be best for the people around you. So. This is true in general. This is what we would call in halacha a din klali. But on Purim, I'm going to try to explain in a second. It's actually a din prati. The whole idea of Purim, if you really understand it, the Gemara says, as leis mandi yada lishna bisha ke Haman, that Haman really put his finger on the pulse of the Jewish people, and he really sensed, and not to mix the metaphors, our Achilles' heel. Remember what Haman says about the Jewish people is Yeshno am echad mefuzar mefurad bein ha'amim, that we're people that can't get along with each other. Nothing happened in Israel this week that could possibly reinforce that sentiment. So the whole theme of the Megillah is that what does Esther say to Mordechai? Leich kenos es kol ha'yehudim, right? That we're supposed to gather together. All of the mitzvahs of Purim are actually designed to create a sense of cohesion in the community. That's why there's a din of Berovam Hadras Melech, specifically by Mikra Megillah. We're supposed to get together in as large a groups as possible for Mikra Megillah, as long as you can hear every word. There's always a balance there. That's the whole idea of Shalach Manos. You're supposed to create Reyos. In general, in Halacha, we want to try to do things privately, but there are many Achronim who hold that by Shalach Manos, right, it's very important to know who it came from, because otherwise there's no Reyos. And especially when it comes to, as I'll explain in a second, Matanos Lev Yonim, the whole idea is that we're supposed to be extra attentive to those individuals who otherwise would have fallen through the cracks. Remember, the story of Amalek was a story of how they attack the weak. That's their thing. You know, Amalek's, everybody has their thing in life. And Amalek, their thing is to attack weak people. Right? So the halachic response to that was Matan Osev Yonim. The Rambam says, Beferosh, that's the most important mitzvah of the day. I'll just read that. Mutav ladam laharbas matanos avyonim laharbas besudaso uveshiluach manos lereyav. If you really, really, really want to experience Purim properly, the simchas Purim, so the seuda, and again, for the Rambam, the whole din of shichros in the seuda, shiluach manos lereyav. So the Rambam says, if you really want to spend Purim right, you should be marba, you should spend most of your time, most of your effort, most of your finances in Matanos Avyonim. Shein sham simcha gedolim b'fo'ara. You know what the greatest simcha in life is? Ala l'sameach levaniyim yisomim almanos v'gerim. It's not just poor people, but it's the people who are on the margins of the community. Shem yisameach lev umlalim elu dome l'shchina shenemar l'hachayos ruach shvam l'hachayos lev nidkaim. The Talmidim from Shir, who are veterans of this position, the Rambam, know that the Rambam uses the word umlal in a very specific way. Umlal doesn't just mean let's say, Yasom v'almana, Umal, and Chacham Avadi is a tshuva about this, means people who have a harder time in life, people, again, almana, they have a very hard time, lo aleinu. We, Yisomim, have a very hard time in life. People who are indigent have a very hard time. And then there are other people who have a very hard time. Maybe older single people can sometimes have a very hard time in life. And people who struggle with mental illness have a very hard time in life. And yes, 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 people who are, and again, this happens very often far from public view, but people, and they have nothing but my respect and support, no judgment whatsoever, who are suffering from addiction, and their children are suffering, and their spouses are suffering, and it is horrible. So they are also umlalim in a very meaningful way. So if you ask me, it's hard to require people to do this, but if you ask me, you know, it's clear from the Rambam that sensitivity to the nechashalim acharecha, the people who Amalek attack, the people who are most vulnerable in our community, I think there is a real midas chasidus for people, even if you are not at risk. And again, for young people, this is not relevant for you right now, of course, but we don't know. Unfortunately, because of Inyan Idioma, I speak to addiction scientists at least 3 times a week these days, things going on in town. And it's very hard to know in advance. Genetics hasn't advanced the point to figure out, you know, what the risk factors are. Like, can you tell if you go to a 12-year-old who are going to be the kids that are really, really, you know, at most risk? There is a genetic component. How that plays itself out is really not obvious. Really, really not obvious. But at some point we know that, you know, not everybody can go to a Shalom Zachar. Not everybody can go to a Kiddush and simply take a little. It's just not possible and it's not safe. And again, since Purim is a day of, to quote from the Gemara, Zman Kihila Lakolhi, it's a day of Leich Kenosas Kol Yehudim, I think that the beauty of Purim, like the Rambam says, is for a person to really, really be focused on the umlalim around us. It's a day of communal cohesion. It's a day, really, where the simcha is expressed by counteracting the instincts of Amalek, which is to prey on the weak, and to be sensitive. So in the world of Mikra Bikurim, if we were willing to b'shev al tase, significantly ameliorate a dinda raisa, right? Dinda raisa. I didn't get to do my Mikra Bikurim because this guy is illiterate. But we don't want to embarrass that person. I think that from a communal standpoint, it would be very, 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 very wise and noble and a kind of amidas chasidus to move things in the direction where, you know, the norm would be in the direction of Rabbeinu Ephraim, of the Orchos Chaim, etc., to create a communal environment that is much more supportive of those umlalim in our midst who really, their daily lives. And I have to say, when I was your age, guys, I really did not have an understanding of this. I don't think I would have said it out loud, but I would have said, you know, why can't people just stop? Like, what are they doing to themselves? But it is one of the most humbling things in the world to talk to somebody who wants nothing more than to hold their family together and their wife has one foot out the door and it's a disaster and they really don't know if they're going to be able to have the strength. These people are deserving of our support. And this is one of the ways that we can think about supporting them as a community. There's one other point which I think about a little bit as an educator, and I actually took the time to write this up. You see that I have various appendices here in case you're interested in some of the chronology, because I think it is interesting to chart through the Rishonim and Achronim. So I just wanted to read here the last two paragraphs about some of my observations and conclusions here with respect to this issue. Because again, I think if you're taking the most myopic, narrow halachic view, I'm only willing to look at the Gemara and Megillah and Daf Zayin and all of the Rishonim and Achronim associated there, I still think it's a categorical error to say that there's a din of shichrus. Like I said, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Orchos Chaim, the Rambam, and the Baalei HaTosfos, and so many others. But if you are willing, which I think is the responsible way of looking at halacha, to try to put things in context, so I do have some educational concerns as well. So I'll just read from this penultimate paragraph here in my observations and conclusions. Furthermore, the needs of our children and adolescents for whom alcohol and substance abuse presents a unique danger. Let me just explain. I mean that in two ways. First of all, It's very, very hard to know. It may, in fact, be unknowable at this point about which of our children are at greatest risk. It's hard to predict, to be honest. There are people with seemingly no family history, as far as we know, who are highly at risk. You know, I want to thank the Foremans for making themselves very vulnerable and opening themselves up in their family story. They've really put our community in a much better place, you know, for those who are the work that they're doing. So that's part of the unique danger. The second part of the unique danger is that the developing brain, my wife happens to be a neuropsychologist, so the developing brain is uniquely sensitive in terms of when there is, unfortunately, abuse of controlled substances or sometimes formerly controlled substances, the impact can be, you know, very significant. The same thing is true of traumatic brain injury. The same way that the developing brain is more sensitive to, I'm not saying it's a good idea if you're 30 and you suffer 10 concussions, I would still retire from the NFL, but if you're 17, it's even worse. And that is a medical fact. So the developing brain is uniquely at risk. So for me, this strongly militates in favor of establishing a communal culture which rejects drunkenness on Purim. Now again, if somebody wants to drink, yoser michtei limudo, and they, you know, as I say, they know of themselves, it's not going to affect their benching, and it's not going to affect their mincha ma'ariv, and it's not going to affect their night seder, I would say, okay, you know, that's responsible. If it means that they're going to be mevatel 3 hours of limud Torah, I don't get that cost-benefit analysis at all. And here I write, the dangers of a mixed message are particularly acute in the case of children and adolescents. Providing a permission structure for drunkenness, even in a limited fashion, may prove to be a significant detriment to them. So what I mean by that, as I finish over the course of the next 2 minutes, is that when you deal with real-life children and adolescents, what you realize is it's a little bit confusing to say, like, you can do this today, but you can't do it tomorrow. There may be, from a purely objective or logical standpoint, you know, perfectly reasonable argument to be made. But when you create that kind of a permission structure and you behave that way, it's very, very, very difficult for children to accept that kind of a mixed message. And I think from an educational standpoint, you should probably put some thought into if we don't, and I don't think we do, want our children, you know, involving themselves in, you know, abuse of drugs or alcohol ever, I think we should think really carefully about what kind of message it sends when a kind of a permission structure is created one day a year. The second point is the concern for activities that are inconsistent with a dignified and noble bearing expected of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, which in the public square may constitute a significant Chilul Hashem, must be taken into account when formulating a communal norm. Everybody knows the Rambam in the Chos Tshuva and Perek Aleph paskins that a person who's mevatel mitzvos asei and does tshuva in ozaz misham ad shemochen lo. If you violate a nisa daraisa, so the Rambam tells you that tshuva is tola and yom kippurim is mechaper. If you violate what we call an iser chamor, if it's associated with kares or it's associated with misa b'dei shamayim or misas best, then the Rambam says that tshuva and yom kippurim are tola and yisurim are mechaper. The Rambam says if a person is mechalel shem shamayim, nothing is mechaper until Misa. And I have to tell you, I don't think my experience in any way is unique. Everything that I've heard leads me to believe it's representative. It's been very disappointing to see people that I generally respect and think well of, and you never want to judge somebody based on a day, you know, really debase themselves. And sometimes in very public ways, you know, and having to see people, again, be locked out of their homes by their spouses because of their conduct or, you know, people, you know, I'll never forget, I was at one particular Purim Seuda, you know, and I'm not going to mention the name of the Rosh Yeshiva, but a Rosh Yeshiva who does not engage in any drinking and very fine young person, you know, who any of us would have looked at in the base medrash, you know, recently married, you know, walked in and started saying, you know, unconscionable things about his wife, you know, that are hard to, you know, it's so degrading. It really makes you wonder, you know, about the Chilul Hashem aspect of it and about whether this is, you know, whether this is acceptable. I say wonder in a euphemistic way. I don't wonder too much about it. And I would just strongly encourage people to take a broader point of view for the reasons that I said. Again, even if you take a narrow point of view, I think I don't lose any sleep over, you know, at night, you know, being Somechan, Rabbeinu Ephraim, and the Ran, and the Balamar, and the Meiri. But even if, you know, you don't, I think that from a communal standpoint, an opportunity to express solidarity with those umlalim in our community, who I have to tell you are fighting inch by inch to try to hold on to their families and dig themselves out. And again, it's easy. I was once this person who'd say, this is not my problem. But these people, for whatever reason, are predisposed. They didn't ask for this. They would do anything to have a different genetic profile. Leich kenosas kol ayehudim. Ein sham simcha gedola mufara l'sameach levaniyim ve'umlalim. The true simchas purim is reaching out to those who really need more than the rest of us, that message of enafochu, that your life, as dark as it seems right now, things can turn around, things can get better. There's a path forward through this darkness. If the community, orients itself towards embracing these people, I think it could go a long way. Really appreciate everybody's participation and wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.